you doing, Francis?
David.
You got the gray spooky dust shirt on, man. I never get to see those.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that, man.
Yep.
We have merch that we sell to people, or you know, and then we have our private stash merch that only the core crew gets, like the crew necks. Like everybody, whenever they see the crew necks, they're like, "What?" I still haven't even worn my Dickies button up.
Yeah, there's only four of those.
Fuck everyone up.
There's only four of those crew necks, and I don't even have one.
Yeah, right.
I gave mine to Little Will.
Little Will got one. Little Will deserves one out of everybody. You know what I mean? Yep, so over I would say.
Yep. So I gave him mine. So.
Very cool. Man, so we just passed the weekend of Animosity, RPW Animosity.
Great show.
Unfortunate weekend for the group. We'll get to that eventually someday. It ain't today.
Nah. But Chris and crew brought a great weekend and really set up their Mania weekend, which I'm looking super forward to. Judge and fucking Tremont and a Typhoon.
I mean, give me a fucking break, dude. That's enormous and huge opportunity for Joe.
Yeah.
Joe deserves it. You know what I mean? Like very rarely do we say that, you know, or I don't know. Maybe we do. Who knows? Who fucking cares? But Joe deserves it. He's been working his ass off.
Yeah.
And it shows and he deserves it.
Yeah. Miasma is going to be a fucking awesome weekend. And then they announced their return to Chicago, which I don't know, Dave, in July, we might need to pull up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm open to it, you know, my dance card suddenly got a little lighter, so I'm good with that. Check out what I got. I got
Rock and Rye. Rock and Rye? Yeah, it's delicious.
Mm. It's so good, man. So let me do that little intro thing.
Do your thing.
We're just gonna roll because you know what motherfucking time it is. It's Spooky Dust motherfucking podcast. Motherfucker.
That somehow gets more and more aggressive every single time.
My upper lip is very sweaty. I'm really, really happy to be here hanging out with you tonight, Francis. Glad you're here.
It's gonna be a good time. It's gonna be, dude, our guest tonight is fucking amazing. I've had so much fun with this guy.
Yeah, not just fun to watch in the ring, not just, you know, amazing. He's funny.
Hilarious.
Yeah, and he just, I mean, creative like crazy. Awesome video editor, you know what I mean? Yeah. We've done a little bit of business and stuff. Just all around great guy. I love the Total Fucking Chaos guys, you know what I mean? Yeah, like
all around.
You and I were talking about this. We have people that we've met in the wrestling business that we've crossed over the path of just being, you know, like, I'm a fan of your work. Now we're friends. Now we're friends outside of wrestling. You know what I mean? Yeah. And Kyle's one of those people, man.
Yeah, man.
You know
what I'm saying? I think the last time we talked to Kyle on here, I think we were unpacking our father issues or lack of father.
Yes. I remember you guys were going to totally have that. Oh, man. I was hoping you would bring that up because I didn't want to bring up like, hey, Francis, you know how you and Kyle don't got dads and stuff? Like,
yes.
Y'all want to talk about that?
Yeah.
That's so fucked up, man. It's not my place to do that.
Yeah, no, that's ours. And we had talked about doing a bit where like we spin a wheel of like all the shit a dad's supposed to teach you how to do, and then we just teach each other how to do it. Like,
that's incredible.
Teach each other how to shave. Maybe we spin the wheel. Maybe we film me and Kyle taking each other out to a baseball game or something. I don't know.
I
play catch. I don't fucking know. I don't know.
IWTV said we can do whatever we want to. And, you know, I co-sign that. You and Kyle spending fucking
dad and son
like bonding day. I'm 100% we're going to eat up some fucking airtime with that. Okay? It's
the Father's Day special nobody asked for.
When is Father's Day? Do you think we could really make this happen?
Literally, you're asking me when Father's Day. I don't fucking know. I don't mark
my dad also, Francis, so I don't fucking know when Father's Day is.
But you celebrated up to a point.
Fuck you, man. Wow.
I'm just saying, like, I was like,
there's some serious beef in the room now.
I was saying like two or three. I don't fucking know. I didn't know what a calendar was when my dad went to the store for milk and never came back.
Hey, Google, when's Father's Day? Sunday, June 16th. That bitch.
That's news to me.
So, June. Well, let's bring our guest in. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Kyle!
Yeah, Kyle! This is Spooky Dust motherfucking podcast! Holy shit.
That's us. That's us.
I'm by myself this time.
I got one monitor that I can see through really clear. It's nice, crisp 4K. And then the other one is just gunked up, dude. You know what I mean?
I feel you.
Hey, Kyle, did you know when Father's Day was?
I honestly don't even know the date. I had no reason to ever learn
it. Is there a different Father's Day in Canada, just like how there's a different conversion rate?
No, I don't know, because I think we have the same of those days, but like other weird stat holidays have different names or some shit. I don't know. But I think Father's and Mother's Day, they like to lump that shit all together.
Huh. In Canada. Y'all be weird.
I know. Our fucking Thanksgiving's in October. Like, what?
Fathers. You guys get together and open boxes? What's that all about?
Boxing Day? Yeah. I was always confused about that, too. We always make jokes about it where it's like, oh, we fight people or whatever. Oh, but no, it's like, it's literally.
Why did I assume
like,
that you guys just had like UPS boxes and we're just like, what's inside here? Like,
no, it literally, apparently, it's like we box all the shit up that like we got, like, you know, from like Christmas. Like, you know, we take down the tinsel and we take down the fucking, you know what I mean? And we box it all up and we put it back in fucking storage or some shit. I think that's what it is, to be honest.
I'm sure that's like a family activity and, well.
I mean, if it was a family activity, it never was for me.
I love how you named tinsel as a Christmas decoration because tinsel really has kind of gone away. You know what I mean?
Has it? It was all over my mom's place. She loved that.
That was like a big thing like in the 80s and stuff. Like my grandma had a tree that like would glow like the fucking sun. You know what I mean? You'd roll up and the shades and everything would be shut. You'd walk in the house and be like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like.
Oh, I feel that. Yeah. My mom always went ham on Christmas, so I feel that.
Ham on Christmas.
No, I mean hard as a motherfucker, and she also made ham.
Yeah, I thought you were like, yeah, I like spiced ham sometimes.
Nah, she made like that shit with like the mustard glaze and shit. It's like one of the three things she could make, you know what I mean?
What's on your coffee cup?
What's on it?
Yeah.
It's me and my future wife, Jenny, holding Tim Hortons cups.
Did I just see
super
candy. And then on the other side, there's me and her with some lemurs. And I became an honorary lemur on this day because the zoo person told us that the baby had never gone onto anybody's shoulder before, ever, not one time. And then that day, the baby hopped onto my shit and was hanging out. And, you know, and we ended up getting myself a lemur stuffed toy, too, that hangs out in my room.
Amazing.
I'm an honorary lemur is what I'm saying. I got to represent my people.
You just got engaged semi-recently, right?
I did. This is my engagement ring. It's real cool. Right there.
Congratulations, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. It's always nice to find somebody that's willing to put up with your bullshit. You know what I mean? Your smells. That, you know.
That's like one thing she won't put up with. I've actually had to make like a lot of adjustments, especially in that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like breath-wise and like, you know, my feet stink and shit, right? Like I've had to like buy Gold Bond, you know what I mean? Like breath spray that I keep on me. Like I've had to make several adjustments, especially in that way.
I don't mean to sound incredibly like raw or anything like that, but when you meet a girl that you can fucking rip a fart in front of, you gotta marry her. You know what I mean? Like, that's all there is to it. Like, I was with a girl for just shy of 10 years, never farted in front of her. Okay. Ever, ever, ever. Ever. Not one time, dude. I know. And that's why we're not together. We just weren't the right fit. You know what I'm saying? I went to go and see this girl in Indiana like years and years ago, like fucking like 20 years ago. Right. I stayed with her from Friday to Monday morning. And the whole time I was holding in a fart. Okay. The whole fucking time. And like, we like banged a bunch of times and went and saw a wrestling show and went out to fucking Cracker Barrel and stuff. And when I was leaving, it was snowing, and I went walking to my car, and she was waving at me from the door, and I took a step, and it was like,
no, the walking farts.
And I mean, like the whole way to the car, and she's like, bye, see you later. And I'm like, bye.
It's like that scene in Ted where he goes, finally.
But, you know, met my wife, ripped a fart in front of her. She farted in front of me, and now we're fucking married, bro. You know?
That's close amazing. To 20 years. 20 years? Wow. Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah, man.
I commend you, sir. Thank you
very much. I was also going to tell you, you already know this. You're more than happy to, or more than you can smoke on the show.
Oh, hell yeah.
You still no partake in the marijuana, right?
Always. Yeah. Okay. Like, I quit cigarettes, actually.
Congratulations.
I've had the hardest time. Yeah, I've had the hardest time. I probably quit like 5 times this year. But like, I quit finally. I've done. Haven't bought a pack in 2 weeks.
5 you know times I mean? This year? This year hasn't even really been going on all that
I
long.
I know. It's been quite the year already.
Wow, man.
I know. It's ridiculous.
So we've had you on the show before, but we've never got to do the one-on-one and stuff like that. I want to tell you something real quick, if you don't mind. Because we always try to tell everybody about, you know, like when we first met and everything like that. So we knew Hardcore first, and we knew Will right around the same time, but TFC had not formed yet.
That's right.
Then when we started doing the and I don't give a fuck, all right? I'm going to say this. I don't care if people are tired of hearing us talk about Famous Monsters. Nobody's said it, but I don't fucking care if anybody's sick of it because I love it, and that's all that fucking matters to me, all right?
And best shit I've been a part of.
If Francis tells me to stop talking about it, I'll stop talking about it. But he hasn't said it yet, so I think we're good, right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Don't fuck around, Francis.
I'm sorry.
I'm watching you.
I'm sorry, dude.
All right.
So the original draft of the show was considerably different than what everybody ended up seeing. There were people that was like, it's so far after the fact, it doesn't matter to tell people right now, but there was supposed to be The Body versus JJ Escobar. Kamikaze was supposed to face Tarzan. But the match that you were in was supposed to be Hardcore versus Joey Knotts.
Huh.
And Will was supposed to be with Hardcore, and Ox McCoy was supposed to be with Joey.
Ah, yes.
But it was supposed to still be the Electric Frankenstein match, just not with all the storyline stuff. Like that was all added in way later that we put in there. Okay. In the match, Joey was petitioning us that because you know he has horns in his head.
Yes.
He petitioned us that he wanted to have Hardcore cut one of the horns out.
Ooh, gnarly.
Francis and my wife staged an intervention with me. I filmed it. Both of them just being like, we're Hardcore against this.
Oh, wow.
And I took a crowdsource for everybody, and everyone was 100% against it. They're just like, you can't do that. You literally can't do that. You have to not do that. Please don't do that. Like, every level of people being like, just don't do that, you know? And then something happened, and Joey retired temporarily. He's already back. Ox couldn't make his way to Michigan because of that. So they were out. I asked Hardcore, Who do you want to involve? Is there anybody that maybe I can facilitate it? And he was like, what about Kyle? And I was like, I don't know Kyle because I had not seen you perform at that point or even met you. Okay. Francis and I went to the True Wrestling Underground show and we saw you perform. You faced Soul Taker.
I did. Yes.
But that was my first time meeting you that night. And you and I clicked pretty quick. And Francis, him and I left, and you know, Francis was like, I really like Kyle. Kyle really showed the fuck out. Kyle's a really cool guy. But we were both like, you know, really high on you guys, you know? And I was like, all right, fuck it. Yeah, I'm into Kyle. Kyle's great. Let's involve Kyle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I asked you to be involved in it, and you were just like, fuck yeah. Like, you know, it was immediate. You didn't give me any bullshit or pushback or anything like that. The day of the show, you guys all came after fucking wrestling in, I want to say, Philly?
In Philly, yeah.
And you guys did a 9-hour drive with no sleep?
Well, we had alternating sleep, but it might as well have been no sleep. Yeah, but yeah. And then before that, because what it is was we drove from Rochester to Buffalo to another place called Amsterdam, I think, New York. And then we stayed there. And then so that was a drive in and of itself. And then we went to Philly, and then we drove from Philly to Detroit. Like, we just drove that whatever the hell time that takes. And it was just Will and our boy Kevin that were driving, because I don't have a license, and Dick, you know, he's you know, not driving either. So, you know what I mean? So we slept in the back, and like, we hung out. I provided entertainment, you know what I mean? But that was, you know what I mean? That, yeah. You know, it was such a long ass drive. It was crazy. And the matches that we were in too, because Dick was in two matches, because it was a tournament that we were in, the Uncivilized Cup. Right?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So we were in, he was in two matches. Mikey Anarchy actually beat me because I got tangled up in a barbed wire hay bale, essentially, is what it looked like. And I couldn't kick out after he jumped on me because I was hooked into the barbed wire. It took a second to get me out, right? So I left with some new scars just from that. So my back probably looked crazy even going into Famous Monsters, let alone how crazy it looked afterwards.
So you guys showed up, and you all looked really, I don't think you're going to feel bad with me saying this, you all looked really haggard. And haggard. I was like,
yeah.
I wanted everything to go all right, but there was some chaos. And again, it's so far after the fact, I don't mind saying this now. There was a match that we went to go with that was supposed to be one of the extra matches. And there was somebody that was somewhat untrained, and we had a weird situation that happened.
Oh, I remember that. Oh,
and everybody on the set got spooked.
Yeah.
Everybody. Because
that was scary.
Yeah, it was scary.
Yeah.
And it turns out that somebody told me that they were trained and they weren't. That was
wild. Yeah.
So you guys were supposed to go on next after that. And there was some serious fucking weird energy amongst everybody. Like, when that happened, because Francis was like, please don't let this happen, because I got a really bad feeling about it. And I said, I think everything's going to be okay. And when it was happening, I turned around and I looked at Francis, and Francis was like this.
Oh, yeah.
And he was just standing there, like, you know what I mean? But you could see it in his eyes that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Francis and I have, like, a nonverbal communique, you know? And he was giving it to me that, like,
yeah.
I called this. Like, yeah, I was like, yeah, I called this. Well, those fucking...
I don't want to say too much about
it. No. But, like, I mean, we've kind of alluded to it, right? So, because I want to get to, like, a little bit of back of the Kyle history, but that day... I was doing the weapons with the homie D and Adam, right? The financial gentleman were in the mix fucking doing fuckery. And we were working on that massive bundle that you fucking hit hardcore with.
World fucking record to this day.
And
we were surrounded with a couple hundred tubes. We had everything we had way too much shit for what we wanted to do. And these guys came over.
That's this tradition.
And it was going to be for this match. And it was like, okay, what do you guys want? And they started like pointing to the razor blades, the tall boys, the big bundles. And I was like, you guys are going to get these 10 tubes and leave me the fuck alone. And because I did not trust it, right? And then like, on the way out, they like eyeballed the door. I don't even remember if it had barbed wire on it or not. And I was like, you guys want that too? You can take that. And that's what it was. And they somehow managed to almost kill themselves with no bullshit, 10 tubes in a door.
somebody got a really bad cut and freaked out. And it turns out that it wasn't as bad as it seemed, but it just got really bad really fast. That's all.
That's right. I had a first aid kit. I was the dude who helped patch him up. Actually, it was Barbed Wire Media that hooked that up, but I had the first aid kit because my fiance Jenny, she likes to make sure that I'm taken care of. So, like, yeah, I remember that very vividly.
Once again, another reason to fucking marry that girl, man. Taking care of you and shit. But the match that you guys did is at, I don't feel weird saying this. It's kind of legendary at this point. Just because it was so bonkers and things happened that I don't know if they're ever going to happen again. You know what I mean?
I hope so. I don't know.
And after the match, Kyle, God, I felt so bad because you, Kyle was bleeding outside. I went walking outside after the match. Wow. I was on such a high from it, but I wanted to make sure everybody was okay. And on my way out, I hear, you got to go check on Kyle. Kyle, you can't stop him from bleeding. You know what I mean? And I went out there and you had like a there's that clip that's floating around on the internet where I get the camera close to you and you're like meat chunks. And you're missing like chunks of fucking flesh dug out of you. And you have this like, it looks like a bee's nest on your back, but it's just like a hunk of like dug up skin
like
and it's
flesh, like, yeah,
it's like oozing blood. And so you went to the hospital in Michigan and then you went to two in Canada, right?
Can I tell you the story that happened?
Please give it to me.
Okay, so what happens is I don't know when exactly the cut happened on my back, but we're thinking that it was when he put me through the pane of glass when it was stood up against the wall. So that was like right at the beginning. And, like, I ended up giving him, like, you know, a gory bomb and stuff. So, like, you know, that wound is getting, like, relatively more open and stuff is coming out as the match is kind of happening. So I didn't notice it because, of course, adrenaline. So we get done and everything and, like, we're taking pictures after. And I'm kind of feeling it kind of pool up at the bottom of my tights, right? Like, where my underwear starts. Yeah. And it's just like, I'm just like, wow, that's getting kind of like wet, right? Like, am I okay? Like, and then so I go out and we're kind of like trying to patch it up. And like Tarzan is there and he kind of is like, yo, I got super glue and shit. So we like clean it up and like we go to like super glue it. And that like works for like a second. But then once I move, like the super glue just totally gives up and the blood starts coming again. So about a total of 4 hours happens, right? Where we just can't close this thing. And I am leaking blood and like my tights are covered in blood. Everything's covered in blood. It's ridiculous. So 3, 4, 5 people have looked at it. And about 4 of those people have told me that everything's going to be fine. It'll stop. It'll just be a scar, blah, 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 right? The one guy that told me, hey, man, I think you might want to get that looked at was Tarzan. And I was like, this guy met me today, has no reason at all whatsoever to give a shit at all. So the fact that he was the only dude that was like, yo, like, maybe get that looked at, bro. I was like, you know what? Yeah, like, fuck that. I am going to get it looked at. You know what I mean? So we drive to an urgent care. And it's open. We go in and I'm wearing nothing but American flag shorts that are soaked with blood from the ass down. Okay. I have what looks like a bullet wound in my back. Okay. Shirtless. No, like I'm wearing shoes that are like unfucking like my Converse. They're unfucking laced up. They don't fucking. And I've got like bloody t-shirts that I'm kind of half-ass holding on my back. And so I walk into this urgent care. There's a family that's sitting in the waiting room and they look horrified. Okay. So I go up to the counter and this poor like young girl is like behind the counter and she says, like what can we do for you or whatever, right? Like looking at me like I have a bullet wound. And so Will is with me and he basically goes like, so can we like get my buddy like patched up, you know, he's got a little bit of a cut on his back. Like, you know, can we just kind of just patch him up? You know, I know it's late, but can we just patch him up just a little bit? And this person is looking at him and like half ass shaking his head, like go anywhere else, man. Like, this is too much. And like, you know, and so this like, so he's like, I gotta get like my superior, right? So we go outside and I'm smoking at this point, so I'm having a cigarette and we go back inside, right? And hardcore and Kev are trying to go and get like some food for us, right? But okay, so like I forget my fucking ID in my actual jeans, not my American flag pants, right? So so they have to come back and give my wallet and then fuck off back again. So it's a whole kerfuffle. Anyway, we get back inside and this adult is behind the fucking counter and she takes one look at me and she says, "You have to go to the hospital." And she gives me like directions to the hospital. So we go to the Dearborn Hospital, Beaumont, I think it's called.
Yeah.
We go in. I'm the only one allowed in. They won't let Will in for some reason. I don't know why. I get up to the counter thing and the person asks me, okay, so where are you from? Blah, 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 Ontario. Do you have insurance? Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Here's my Ontario health card. Does that do anything? I don't know. Okay. Go into this room. This doctor takes one look at me and everything. And he's like, so how did this happen? Cause I got all the marks, like everything from all the tubes and all the scars and all the barbed wire and blah, blah, blah from the weekend. Right. So the only thing that pops into my mind to say to him when he asks me what happened was that I was a male exotic dancer who slipped on a penis straw and fell through a glass table that I was dancing on. And this dude bought it.
Wow!
Hook, line, and sinker. Because I was wearing the American flag pants. So he like looked out. He's like, yeah, totally. Like, you know what I mean? And he kind of like asks me, he's like, where'd the rest of these like cuts and stuff come from? I'm like, oh, all just from this, right? Like, it was bad. Like, I was rolling around. It was bad. And so from there, he patches me up and it still continues to bleed. I'm getting blood all over the floor of this like hospital room that I'm in for 3 hours. 3 hours they hooked me up. And finally, so he gives me an x-ray and I'm like, is that going to cost something? What the fuck? And he's like, well, we're just going to make sure there's no glass in here. I'm like, all right. Because I don't know. I don't know the last time I was in a hospital, right? You know, right? So I was like, okay, whatever. And so he stitches me up. He puts 4 stitches in my back. He puts 3 in my arm because he's like, he basically is like, I'm going to save this tattoo. I'm going to save this tattoo because like I said, meat chunks, right?
Yeah.
So buddy, like,
save the tattoo. Come on.
Save my tattoos, right? A couple of them. And so he basically lets me out like 4 hours later. The whole time, Will has been trying to infiltrate the hospital. He's been doing covert activities this entire time, trying to sneak in through the ambulance thing. And he actually did it. And he's actually got my girlfriend on the phone. And he's like, I'm in. Like, you know what I mean? Like making his way through the hallways and like trying to find me in the rooms. And like, he's like, do you know where my friend Kyle is? You know where my friend Kyle is? He has like green hair. And, you know. And so he finally gets caught and he gets escorted out of the hospital, right? So he's waiting for me outside and we finally leave and everything's fine. About a month later, a letter shows up to my house from the Beaumont Hospital in Dearborn, Michigan. I lose my shit. I fucking text my girlfriend. I'm like, okay, so how much does like medical bills usually cost in the States anyway? Ooh. She's like, well, it depends on what, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, so I had an x-ray and 8 stitches. She goes, the x-ray is not going to be nice.
X-ray is like 10 grand.
Yeah. She goes, the x-ray is not going to be nice to you. And I was like, okay, so I have the envelope. I don't open it for 2 months. They send me another envelope because I'm just like, if I don't open it, it's not real.
Yeah, it doesn't
exist. Out of sight, out of mind, right?
That's true, though.
Right? So I finally open it because they sent me a third one. So I got scared. I was like, all right, I got to deal with this, right? This third letter. So I open it up. $22. $22. Wow. And I was like, for 3 months, I was freaking out thinking it was going to be like $22,000. You know what I mean? And it's $22. So apparently the government of Canada will kind of hook you up a little bit if you get fucked up in the States, I guess.
Wow.
I had no idea. I still to this day have not gotten any letters from the Canadian government. I still to this day have that thing paid off. I thought I was gonna have to, you know, go to the bank and get a fucking, you know, loan or some shit, or go visit my Uncle Vinny, you know what I mean, and get a loan.
I can't walk into a doctor's office without paying $100 just to walk in.
Dude, I don't know what it is, but like, apparently if I get fucked up in the States, it's not gonna cost me very much. So deathmatch promoters, keep that in mind.
You know, I gotta say too, man, like, you know that there's probably some guy in Canada that legitimately fell through a table. You know what I'm saying?
No, like, it was like, no. Do you know where that comes from, David? I'll hook you up. This is where it comes from. It's Sexy Eddie. Do you know the name of Sexy Eddie?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay, so Tournament of Death. I think it was. It might have been three, but it might have been four. But I'm thinking it's three. Where he had the squirter from his arm that he was drinking from. Yeah, so he goes into the hospital to get that looked at and shit, because of course, you know, and that's his excuse. That's what he said, was that he fell through a glass table, he was a male stripper, blah, 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 and he was hooking up. He didn't hook up with them, but he was trying to hook up with the nurses, and he got a couple of numbers.
Incredible. What an amazing, amazing, amazing story.
So I was carrying on a Canadian legacy.
holy fuck, man. Kyle, so... legitimately, like we burned through so much screw around time. I really, Francis and I know, I know that we both want to delve into the, your early, you know, coming into wrestling and stuff like that and being a fan. We're kind of doing this episode, reverse cowgirl, but we're cool with that, right?
I'm down with everything. Let's stay for 90 minutes, feature length. I don't care. Let's go.
Kyle, how old were you when you first discovered pro wrestling? Who showed it to you? Did you find it on your own?
My mom was a big wrestling fan. She liked like WWF, like Stone Cold Steve Austin and shit. So like 96, 7, 8 probably. And I'm born in 93, so I was super young. And we were watching both. Like we were watching WCW because we have this, I have this vivid memory that my papa always reminds me of, where I would like stand on the one side of the couch and he'd be on the other side, and I'd yell Hitman Hart and fucking jump from one side to the other with an elbow, right? And so we were watching WCW too, right? You know what I mean? Especially around the time. So basically I don't really remember super like when I was young in that way, because I got out of wrestling for a long time. And actually how I got back into it was in 2007-ish. I was in grade 7 or 7th grade, whatever. And this guy, Phil English is his name, who's in a band now called Burning Bridges. He basically introduced me to like what wrestling looked like now, like as opposed to like what it did. Like, and that was like 2007-ish, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, Shawn Michaels is still there, Randy Orton, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I got into it basically through video games. So we were playing stuff like Legends of Wrestling, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
So we were playing Legends of Wrestling. We were playing all these things. So I knew who Bob Orton was before I knew who Randy Orton was. And I knew who Roddy Piper was. Yeah, what I'm saying is I got in the right way. Like I started at the bottom and I was able to kind of, you know, because I would Google things. Like I would research everything. Like I loved all the lore. I loved all the backstories and shit. I didn't care how whatever fake it was, whatever you say, whatever. All that shit was great. So basically, I was reintroduced to like, you know, 2004, 2005 wrestling because of WWE video games like the SmackDown vs. Raw. And I bought all those and I played all of them. So I was familiar with everybody and the stories and all that stuff. And I would go back on YouTube and I would I would kind of fill myself with information because I got the ADHD like before, like anybody knew really what that was. So I never got tested for it or anything. Okay. So like I was able to kind of hyper focus and figure and use that as my time, because I didn't really do much I didn't play any sports. I didn't, you know, I only had a few friends and stuff. So I would hang out on the computer and I would learn shit and, about wrestling, and I would watch old wrestling. And basically what like really got the bug going was my mom was watching a documentary about Hulk Hogan, and they were talking about, how Roddy Piper would always, you know, he always had something to say and he was always spitting in his face and saying, you know what I mean? And talking shit to the giant. Right. And I never liked those guys like that were big dudes that just fucking won all the time and stuff. Never a fan of that sort of thing. Yeah. So the idea that there was a dude of Scottish descent, which I am also, you know, blue eyed Canadian, you know what I mean? Talk shit. You know what I mean?
Nobody was better on the mic than Piper back in the day, man. Like Piper, like he was money, and he was of that, like where he would go from territory to territory. The territory system being a thing was so awesome back in the day. You know what I mean? Because you'd have people, you'd get sick of them and they'd go away and you'd get new people. Now we're kind of in a world where It's sort of like with the internet, like you were saying around 2007. So you know what it's like to not be online 24 hours a day.
Oh, 100%. I was born in 93. I know all about that. I was born right in the sweet spot.
Yeah. Being, I like the way that you discovered wrestling. It's awesome.
Yeah, I never really saw it live until a few years later. In fact, like my first independent show ever, I remember sort of a few things about it. Like Lufisto was the first match, so she was the first independent wrestler, that I ever saw, right? And it was in my hometown, and Honky Tonk Man was there. I got to see Honky Tonk Man, and the funny thing about him was I paid for an 8x10 so that he'd sign it, right? But my buddy next to me, he didn't. So Honky was like fucking telling me like stories and shit. He hung out with me for like 4 minutes, and then he's like, all right, next. And then fucking my buddy shows up with just a piece of paper ready to get signed, and he kind of scribbles on it. He's like, next. Like, didn't even give him the time of day. So I gave him 20 bucks and he gave me 4 minutes of time.
That's incredible, like, though, man. What town are you from in Canada?
Lindsay, Ontario. It's like a small town. It's about 2 hours away from, or hour and a half away from Toronto.
So roughly around 2007-ish, 6-5, somewhere in there and stuff. I had some buddies from up in Canada, and I used to go up to Orangeville.
Oh, that's where I'm from.
My band used to play. We played in Kitchener. We played in Orangeville. Whoa. My friend was a promoter of a little wrestling company and stuff. So I went up there. We saw a couple of wrestling shows, and they're just regular ass wrestling shows. You know what I mean? Not deathmatch at all. But there were 3 different shows going on in the town on the same day from 3, you know what I mean? 3 unrelated. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. Cause we don't really have like indies like that where I'm from. You know what I mean? Right.
It's like that in Canada. It's
a national pastime. They're like, they're everywhere. Oh, you know what I mean? Everybody's a fucking worker in Canada.
Yeah, like it's definitely like a weekend thing, like almost every weekend thing, you know, because there are so many promotions. And then what ends up happening is, you know, people start a promotion and then it's with 2 dudes and then they end up like sideways with each other. And then after that, there's another promotion that ends up, you know, popping up, because you know what I mean? Now there's, you know, another place to work or whatever. But, you know, there's always weird drama and stuff. And everyone's been around for so long that they all like know each other. And a lot of them have like first impressions that they just don't really get away from. So I don't know. It's a very clicky system. Like it's not very friendly. It never has been. Now it's getting a little better. But like it was when I first started coming up back in like 2012, I was essentially bullied out of the business for like 5 years. You know what I mean? Because just people were dicks, you know? Yeah. You know, like people were dicks and they were like, you know, deliberately trying to, you know, make you essentially like want to unalive yourself. You know what I mean? Like just for fun. You know what I mean?
Wow,
like,
man.
They were cruel and awful.
Do you have like a background? Did you start off like doing the backyard thing? Because what we're learning is like a lot of those backyard guys have gotten shitted on.
Well, no. See, what happened was like I went and got trained like around the time. Like, are you familiar with Edge? And you know how he went and he did that essay contest.
Who is this Edge character that you're talking about?
You know what I mean. His origin story of how he wrote the essay and all that shit.
I will have to look them up on the YouTube later on.
Go fuck yourself. Anyway, so this Adam Copeland character that nobody's heard of, he does a version of this, an essay contest, which a dude that used to train with him and tour with him and everything, his name's El Fuego, right? Like, he's a legend in Canada. One of those Ron Hutchison guys, right? Like, incredibly respected dude. He has a school called Squared Circle Training, right? And he's, of course, boys with this Adam Copeland character who's nobody's ever heard of. Fucking who's that? And he fucking has...
don't know him, you know?
Right? Nobody knows him. He's just some character. Anyway, I think he was in, like, that Percy Jackson bullshit. Anyway, so he knows Rob. And so Rob gives him basically, like, oh, yeah, okay, so we'll have this essay contest, free training for somebody who wins, blah, blah, blah. So I enter, you know what I mean? But I do not win, obviously. But... I'm inspired enough, and I've inspired my family enough that my grandparents, my nan and papa, they have like a bunch of money that came in, and they were like, all right, here's $2,000, you know, where you can go and live your dream. Cause we lived our dream and blah, blah, blah. Like papa was a rodeo guy. Like he was a world champion rodeo dude. And like my nana went and did a bunch of shit that she wanted to do. Right. Like it was a whole thing that they were like, you should have the opportunity. Right. So
they hooked me up with a supportive family. So cool, Kyle.
Like Nana and Papa, yeah. Like they, without them, I'd be nothing. You know what I mean? They've been, you know, I had a shitty upbringing. You know what I mean? And that was like the light that was there. You know, they really did hook me up hard. You know, and to this day, I'm thankful, and I'll never, you know, they know this. They know, trust me. But yeah, so. Like $2,000 was in the bank. And so I handed it over and I had a lifetime membership to train there. That was the thing. And that was 2012, the first week of January. So I was there until January of the same year, or no, December of the same year. I had my first battle royal. So I trained that whole time. And then the next year I had my first match in front of people that September. So that was in Hamilton. So I had gaps in between because I really wanted to kind of like be capable, if that makes sense, to at least, you know, perform in front of people and not embarrass myself, which in training, I had a very hard time because I was a fat kid. You know, I was a sandbag, you know, and I was very annoying. I had like I said, ADHD that was undiagnosed, and I had no idea that I was so annoying to everybody and shit. So they made me feel that a whole lot, you know, like. You know, I'd have to try things. Pardon?
What was your first name that you wrestled as at that time?
It was Adrian Anarco was the name. Just so that I could use anarchy symbols as my... Anarco is a form of punk music. And I wanted to be a British punk guy because I have really bad teeth. And I wanted to get away... with the teeth by being British, right? So the gimmick was like, so I'd show up and I'd be practicing my British voice, right? So I'd just be, you know, talking like this when I come to the arena, right? And I'd be talking like this all the time, basically. And so there were some people that actually thought that I was actually from England. And actually, when they found out that I wasn't, they got very pissed off at me and said that I was working the boys. It's like, no, I'm just trying to get my character. Just trying to get my character across. And then after that is somewhere around the time where I was like, I shouldn't probably be British because I'm starting to piss people off for no reason or whatever. Wow. And to this day, there's still dudes that won't book me because they're all pissy.
You're quite good at it, dude. Such a cool...
Oh, right, because so I practiced cool. it, right? Like, I could turn it on and off, you know? Like, I could do this whole podcast as Adrian Anarco and nobody would know. They'd be like, who the fuck is that Kyle?
So, okay. When did somebody say, Kyle, we got a death match for you? When did you say, you know what? I want to get into a death match. How did that come about?
Okay, so there's this promotion called Death Proof that was the only actual real hardcore promotion that had anything to do with that sort of thing in Ontario around the time that I was training, right? And I just idolized the dudes that were a part of it. Guys like White Trash Matt Cash, you know, Jesse Amato, you know what I mean? These are guys that have like a name here for being hardcore guys, you know what I mean? And I looked up.
You
them.
Can see this on the internet, right? That was where...
Like, absolutely, so yeah. You can go back.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Like, you can go back and see all this. And IWTV has Death Proof. They have all the old stuff. Go and look at it. It's great.
Okay, awesome.
So, basically, the promoter for Death Proof, he got a hold of me because we'd talked to each other, like, sporadically throughout the years and been friends. Like, we'd talk to each other. I used to idolize him so much that I would actually do his facial hair the same as mine. Like, when it first started coming in, I would actually try to do it like his. And I would shave my head and try to be like him. And he actually messaged me and said, stop fucking trying to be like me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he, like, got mad at me for doing that, for liking him so much, essentially. Aww. And, yeah. So... Weird. So whatever. And so in 2020, essentially, is where I'm going with this, is during the pandemic, he needed a place to do what he called No Ring North. It was a thing that they tried in an outdoor setting that and ended up looking really cool. Right. So he needed a second venue, so to speak, that was outdoor, that, you know, and I live sort of what is the bumfuck nowhere of Ontario. Right. Like, okay. So and I had access to a property that was owned by a dude that was like a mechanic. So he had like cars and shit. So basically I made what looked like a shitty version of like the junkyard from Zona 23. And we had one car that we could use that we sat in the middle that we could fucking do whatever we wanted to, right? And I set all of this up. I set everything up. The bathroom was going to be an issue because they didn't leave me the key. So I broke into the house and actually unlocked the door so that because there was a pregnant woman that was coming and we couldn't have, you know, no bathrooms, right? So I was like, no, fuck that. So I broke into the house, like I, you know, and got in and helped everybody. Basically, I produced the whole thing, right?
Amazing.
And, yeah. And, you know, and I and he basically was like, all right, like your payment for that. And he paid me also. But he your payment for that is you're going to wrestle me and it's going to be a hardcore match. And I was like, OK, that's incredible, because I've always wanted to do a hardcore match. I've always wanted to work for him. I've always wanted to do all of this. So I was like, hell yeah. You know, so we do the match. And of course, I don't have a lot of offense because, number one, I haven't wrestled in about 4 years at that point. I look all right, you know what I mean? But I don't have any gear, you know, and I'm not that Kyle. I'm just Kyle. Like, I just have the drywall gimmick with the drinking monsters. Like, that was essentially how I got cast, essentially, is like, here's my idea for this character. And he was like, oh, that's great, blah, blah, blah. And he came up with the standing drywall thing that I punched through. That was okay. Him every time he made that, you know. And so, you know, essentially it just kind of like snowballed from there, where he would continue to kind of keep putting me on his shows, right? Because he liked the character. And to be honest, I wasn't giving him a whole lot in terms of like anything else. Like,
wait a second,
in
terms, wait a second.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there it is. Go. Yeah. That is the match right there. Look at me. I don't even have green hair or anything yet.
This is, man, Francis, you're so good at doing that, man. Thank you for doing
that. Yeah, dude. Yeah, that's cool, man. Look at that bomb.
Awesome.
Look at me. Right? I tried to go into the window. It didn't work.
Is that mousetraps? Yes, it is. Mouse there traps, we go.
Yeah. Whoa. I never felt mousetraps before. He put what? Yeah, that was real. It just hit me. And he put one on my finger and stuff, like, essentially, like, he just kind of beat me up for the whole time. And, like, I had some little offense in there, some a little bit, too. He was nice to me in that way. But basically, what it was I wasn't supposed to win. He didn't tell me that I was winning. He said that I was losing. But, like, bookers do. They're like, okay, like, you know, don't fucking think about winning because you're not gonna. And I was like, all right. You know what I mean? Like, it's my first match in 4 years. It's my first hardcore match. You're a legend. You know what I mean? In this area, you know, I don't mind. I just probably just lose, you know? And then what happened was there was another dude that came and like knocked him out and actually pulled me on top of him and ended up with a 1-2-3. So I actually won. So I actually beat, you know, this dude. And yeah, so that was cool. And then what happened was I ended up like winning in like not nefarious ways, but like lucky ways where like shit would happen. Like a dude would fall through a table after I blew monster in his face, but then I jumped down and I 1-2-3 like real quick. And then he like gets right back up. He's like, oh, God damn it. Right. And awesome. It was like that. Yeah. And it was like that for like a bit. And they had a tournament to crown their first champion in Windsor. And I made it to the finals, and that's when I had thing with PD Skills, where he ended up being my dad and all that, and everything snowballed from there. So that's where my origin story is No Ring North, and like, you know, what was Death Proof and what is Death Proof now again, that I'm not involved in Death Proof now, but I did win their tournament and I have their trophy and all that. So I realized my dream of working for them, and I defeated a lot of dudes that I never thought I'd even be in the ring with. You know, and had incredible experiences and learned from all these people remarkably. Like, you know, they don't, you know, like they have their own issues and stuff like that, whatever. But like, I'm thankful for everything that I was able to do. You know what I mean?
Oh man, oh man. You know, I actually heard that thing about PD Skills being your dad. I'd only seen him the first time at that show that you guys were on where you faced Soul Taker.
Against Joey Knotts. He was there, yeah.
He was on the show as well. He wasn't supposed to be. It was supposed to be somebody else. I can't recall who it was supposed to be, but
I may have been loud when I said that there's another wrestler from Canada that's here that's ready to work.
Oh well, hey. I've always heard that, like, Chuck Stein, obviously, right?
Captain.
He's always talked about you always got to have your gear in your fucking car. Like, if you ever go to a wrestling show, just have your fucking gear, always, every single time. And at that show, he wasn't booked. He was supposed to just be hanging out, and something happened, and he ended up being, you know what I mean?
That's right. That's right. And he saved me from Soul Taker. And Soul Taker called me little Jeffrey Dahmer. I'll never forget that. he's like, you want me to leave little Jeffrey Dahmer alone? I'll never forget that.
So you did the training route, you did all that. Did you ever get any kind of like, or have you got any pushback from like doing the deathmatch stuff from like your school or your trainer? Cause like, it's always frowned upon.
I haven't heard from like my trainer in a very long time. That sucks, man. No, you know, he never remembered my name. You know what I mean? Like I won't say anything bad about him. He taught me so much and it's incredible that I even got to be in his presence, but you know, he didn't really care much for me and I don't, you know, blame him. So there were guys that came out of that class that were there at the same time as I am, who were incredibly good, that are probably the best in Ontario, probably the best in Canada. Guys like Gabriel Fuerza, guys like Von Vertigo and Shane Sabre, guys like that. They are the best that you can find in Ontario, and I trained at the same time as them. And I'm thankful for that whatsoever. And they remember me. Like, if I happen to run into them, they're like, oh, Kyle and blah, blah, blah. But, like, they're never going to, like, hang out with me. You know what I mean? And, like, they're never going to, you know, I'm never going to be part of their whole thing. And I understand that. And I have immense respect for them. And I realize that I'm over here and they're over here, which is totally cool. But at the same time, it does kind of make me a little bit of a pariah, because they're like, oh, well, he's going and trying to get himself over by cutting himself and bleeding. And, you know, the same criticism that all deathmatch wrestlers get. Right.
Yeah.
But the idea for me is that I just love the shit so goddamn much. And I have, pardon me. And I have for so long that by this time in my life that I'm willing to kind of make those, like, you know, choices and be, you know, susceptible to that sort of thing, because I've always wanted to do it and I'm never going to get to do it again if I say no, or if I try to backtrack, or if I try to this, that, whatever. I found my niche. People enjoy me in that setting. You know, I'm a perfectly capable wrestler to the point where I can exchange holds. I can do, you know, I have decent cardio. You know what I mean? I can keep up with some of these guys, you know, but I prefer to do matches like this because it allows so much deeper of a connection from the audience to the wrestler themselves, because they're like, this motherfucker has a job, you know what I mean? And here he is getting cut up and bleeding and, you know, and putting his body on the line and shit for us in a way that not everyone else does. And that's not to put them down. That's just to be like, listen, like, this is a genre that exists and I want to exist in it. You know what I mean? It's not that I want to be better than everybody or anything. I know that I'm not. You know what I mean?
I can attest to this. Like, if you take like a mainstream band, you know, and they're doing like an arena show, it's very impersonal, you know, where if you take like a smaller band, like, you know, a punk band or whatever kind of, you know, but you get them in a room where there's like 20 people, you know what I'm saying? And you have that kind of experience and that kind of connection where it's just you can't compare the two, you know. You connect. It's when you connect with the artist, you know what I mean? And it's the same thing with wrestling. Like, I know Francis, you know, we've been to fucking WWE shows and stuff. And, you know, like, I was at the WrestleMania in Detroit, the fucking, the shitty-ass one, was it 25 or whatever? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you a single thing that happened on that show. I just don't recall it. You know what I mean? And I was on the floor, like up close. Like I had fucking expensive ass seats and shit, you know? Put me at any indie deathmatch show and I can tell you everything. I could tell you who was there and stuff just because I'm rabid and the connection's there. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right. And I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the deathmatch guys and have been for a very long time. And when I say that Green Phantom is my hero, that's not hyperbole. When I was a kid, I watched him versus Necro Butcher at Tournament of Death 3. And that was the one where, I don't know if you remember, but he had a skateboard that had tubes on it, and yes, he dropped in onto Necro from the inside to the out. And then he broke a thing of milk on his fucking head. And then, you know, all this shit. And this dude in a mask was taking it to Necro Butcher, right? And I'm like, who is this fucking guy, right? And I heard of him from other places. So to me, Green Phantom was a gimmick that was passed on to other people, kind of like Doink the Clown, right?
Yeah.
Where it's not one guy, it's an idea, and other guys have it or whatever. But then I found out that no, it is one guy, and he's from fucking Canada. You know what I mean? And so that blew my head apart. And I reacted essentially the same way as when I reacted when I found out that Wolverine and like Deadpool were Canadian. And I was like, fuck, that's dope. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
dude.
Right? So like when Sexy Eddie and Green Phantom, they were my fucking boys. I thought they were the shit, right? Like they were like my indie fucking dudes and shit. So like when I found out that like, you know, he was in Tournament of Death. He was in King of the Deathmatch. I end up watching those. So I end up seeing other dudes like Masada, and I end up seeing like, you know, Matt Tremont, you know what I mean? And all these dudes. So I end up gaining like these fandoms based off of the fandom for the Phantom that I already had. You know what I mean? So like, essentially when I saw dudes like Danny Havoc and all this, I was like, these are dudes that are able to do wrestling, but they choose to roll around in glass and shit because it's just cooler. It's the same as in horror movies where comedy is itself entertaining, but if it's comedy horror, like if I just see a dude's head get fucking chopped off in some funny way, you know what I mean? It's so much better than watching some romantic comedy starring the exact same people in almost the exact same roles. You know what I mean?
All romantic comedies, somebody should end up getting their head cut off at some point.
Anyway. I don't know why that's not common. You know? It should be more common. But anyway, so basically, what I'm saying. Oh, go ahead.
I also really like the name The Green Bastards that you guys go for. Like, I immediately noticed that, and fucking, I'm a huge Trailer Park Boys fan, and just, you know, as a Canadian team, as wearing the color green, it's what it should be. Everything is right in the universe. You know what I mean?
But it makes sense to the point because he's the Green Phantom, and this whole time I've been like a bastard. I've been a bastard child. I've been, you know, PD Skills' bastard child. I've been the Green Bastard. You know what I mean? So
my God.
You know, and he's got the green beard, and I got the green hair, and he's got the mask with the beard sticking out, and I got the mask with the hair sticking out. It's the whole thing. It's
I have to be somewhat mindful of our time, but I have to touch on, because I, honest to God, I don't know this at all. Sure. How the fuck did you get hooked up with Will and Hardcore?
Because I got booked for the Death Proof tournament, and Will was also booked for the Death Proof tournament. Actually, the point was, though, I wasn't booked for the Death Proof tournament. Will actually was, and he bought me in because they didn't want me part of the tournament because I'd been such a shithead, you know, and, you know, on their shows and whatnot, so it's been the biggest heel, whatever, you know what I mean? How dare I? So they didn't want me part of the tournament. So Will was, you know, had a free buy-in, and he used it to get me in, and then that's how I became part of TFC, and then and I end up winning. So, you know, member of TFC to get a trophy, by the way.
It's awesome. Did you guys talk behind the scenes before that?
Yeah, like on Instagram. Like, I've known Hardcore since I started, because he would message me on Instagram. He followed me right when I started, and that's when everybody thought I was a backyarder and stuff and everything, and I wasn't a trained wrestler and this, and there's still people that think that, and I'd like to publicly say that I am actually a trained pro wrestler.
I might work that into the clip. Fuck off, assholes.
That's what I'm saying, man. There's some people out there.
Well, I did not ever know that you guys knew each other that long ago. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just, they told me one day, they're just like, oh, that Kyle. And I was like, what Kyle? And they're just like, yeah. That Kyle. And I'm like, right. Who? And they're just like, Kyle. Yeah. And I'm like, but that Kyle? And it was like an Abbott and Costello.
Abbott and Costello, yeah.
And I was like, okay, that Kyle. And Francis and I were both a little standoffish. We're just that's like, right. I yeah. want to see who that Kyle is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You better be good. And we love you, man. You know what I mean? Well, you're such a cool guy. And I really do mean this. Like Francis and I talk about this kind of frequently and stuff. We have like a little tribe. You know what I mean? Where some wrestlers, some referees, some promoters, we're all a bunch of weirdo misfits and stuff. And you are a definite member of our little tribe for aww. Sure.
Aww.
Love the hell out of you, dude.
Love you too. Aww.
Francis, we have like another 15 minutes before we got into the yeah. get into the other stuff. So
we can do a speed round or something if you want, whatever you want to know or whatever. I'll be quick. I won't be long winded like I have been. I've been accused of being long winded.
You and I only get like these little teeny tiny conversations. You know what I mean? Like you did the podcast with us for Famous Monsters and stuff. You know, and just the rapport that you have with us, I love it, man. Love talking to you and shit, you know. What do you do outside of wrestling?
What do I do outside of wrestling?
I know you just got engaged, but like, what, you know, how do you keep yourself happy? You know, for real.
Oh God. Then now you're trying to now I have to lie to you and say that I'm happy all the time.
If you only knew the emotional roller coaster I'm on every day. I need to be on something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm medicated. Right? Yeah, you know. But no, you know, like I watch a lot of movies, you know, like I love Joe Bob Briggs, so I'm always watching old Last Drive-In episodes and you know, I like Elvira on Tubi, you know what I mean? Like I got Shudder. I had to shut it off because I don't make as much money as I used to. But I had Shudder for a bit. I was watching all the horror movies. I like doing stuff like that. And like my girlfriend has really opened my world up to like, you know, going places and doing things like museums and all kinds of shit. But honestly, I'm super boring. Like I just like smoke weed and I go to work, you know, and I watch movies, man. And I watch wrestling and I go train for wrestling. Like I go to the practice gym in Oshawa, New Beginnings Pro Wrestling Training, and I hang out with them and I'm on the group chat and I'm all, you know, I'm always making videos and I'm always doing this or that or, you know.
So you and I share that. We're both editors and stuff. And I really like your work. And you know what I'm talking about. The project that we were working on semi-recently, there was a problem with the video size and there was a date that was on something. And just you accommodated me with a bunch of problems that I was having working through it. And I really appreciate you. You and Barbed Wire Media are the two people that like, everybody probably knows this, or maybe they don't fucking care that I'm an editor and video producer and whatever and shit, you know, but you and I both work in the same field. When did you first get into doing video stuff? Did you discover it by, you were like, well, I'm wrestling, so I got to learn how to do, I got to promote myself, right?
No. And I was in high school. I used to make videos. Like that's where I really like got educated to making videos, was in high school. I was in a media class and you know, I made stop motion videos. I made all kinds of weird shit. And like my friend Phil, I was telling you about him. We made like parody, like John Morrison and the Miz videos, like, you know what I mean? And like that turned into like other things and stuff. So like I was making videos and like doing like weird shit like that for most of my life as a teenager. So I was familiar with the idea. And then when it was presented to me that I could like make my own promos, now that I'm that Kyle or blah, 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 now that I'm back in wrestling or everything's, you know, serious now, I have to make promos because I'm not necessarily getting booked, you know, at the time, especially. So I made the promos with the cameos that are all on my YouTube with like Violent J and like Nick Gage and Neil Diamond Cutter and all these guys, right? So I kind of cut my teeth in high school and stuff, but like I kind of perfected my because I bought the good editing thing. I was just using the shitty editor. And so I really invested in it and kind of like learned as I was going, like with each promo that I made or music video or, you know, I've made a couple of feud videos and stuff and video packages and stuff like that. Yeah. So, you know, so each and every one that I do, I kind of level up in one way or another, in terms of the editing. So where I'm at now is kind of like the peak of kind of where I've ever been. You know, I know tricks that I wouldn't have known had I not done certain promos a certain way, or like the ideas that come into my head while I'm making the thing. If I'm just like, huh, I wonder if I can get like, you know, if I could hollow this out and then have the video going on behind so it looks cool, whatever, right? I figure all that out.
I noticed you understand masking and storyboarding, and unless you're part of that kind of industry, I don't know that that's like a general knowledge thing and stuff, but you're quite good at it. I've peeked at some of your other shit that you've done and like your work, dude.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're really good at what you do. So very cool.
I wish more people would pay me to do it.
Well, but you know what? You just got to put yourself out there and let people know, because I'm discovering that there, in the weird thing about the wrestling industry is that you think that you just have to be a trained, big, huge wrestler to be in the wrestling industry. But there are a lot of other moving parts, you know, from the camera crew to the ring crew to the referee, which I can't even tell you how important having a good, aware, skilled referee is in a death match. Because
I love the idea of shaking the hand of the referee every single time. I know all the referees that I come in contact with here in Ontario for the most part, but I'm always respectful to them outside the ring as much as inside the ring. I like to give them the finger. You know what I mean? Because they do. There's so much moving parts. In fact, in one show recently, I was an announcer, a manager, a wrestler, a host, and I skewered a guy. So,
well-rounded.
That's what I mean. Five things I did in just one show.
Are you paid for
all
five roles, or do you just get the one hot dog?
Okay, so full disclosure, it was for the school that lets me train for them, right?
That's all good.
Yeah, like I have a drop-in rate, sort of, because, you know, they don't have to work with me as much. So basically what I'm saying is I got a few free sessions.
Love it, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
I've worked for a couple shows and I will go up to that counter and collect all my hot dogs and all my drinks.
That's
and
right.
Take them back to my table and eat them like Gollum. You know what I mean? It's mine. No one else gets it because it's mine.
No. And doing this, like, and talking to people and getting people out of that curtain, like, so many people wear so many different hats that you don't even, that aren't really like, you know, when we had Jess Moss on, right?
Yeah.
Jess Moss does a lot of the H2O stuff, right?
Graphic designer. Incredible graphic designer.
Nathan Maury, you guys keep mentioning Barbed Wire Media. Shout out to Michaela and Nathan.
Yes. Nathan Maury is probably one of my heroes. Ever since discovering him and knowing that he's the filmmaker that he is and he's the dude that he is, like, everything aside, I think he's the coolest fucking dude.
Nathan is one of the other people that I worked with. When I said I worked with Barbed Wire Media, I was including him in that lump. But man, Nathan actually helped me out of a situation with Famous Monsters that was a fucking nightmare. And if it wasn't just from talking to him on the phone, because him and I were both like, fuck, I don't know what the fuck to do. That's fucked up. Like, you know what I mean? And just to think it was a frame rate issue. I had five camera people all using different frame rates.
Oh God.
Yeah. and actually two of the cameras were shot in PAL. Do you know what that's all about? Because they're from a different country. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
Shout out to them though. They just got engaged also.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Muzzle Nothing cup. Like deathmatch people find in love, man. You know what I mean?
And not to like blow a spot up, but it's like we have it on very good authority that Mr. Atticus Koger also does graphic design. So
I'm not going to mention
where or who, but I mean, a lot of people wear different hats.
For anybody that's listening to this, if you want to be in pro wrestling, you don't have to take steroids, but it would probably help. You know what I mean?
Right. But yeah, I got arms like these from working out.
I didn't know you were muscular like that. No, look at those shoulders.
I've been working out, dude. Yeah. Fuck. Look at all this.
Look at the buys and tries. Look at the fucking body.
Look at that. That doesn't go anywhere.
Let's see your fucking abs now.
Oh, fuck.
No, come on. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at them. There's four
of them. Look at it. Yeah. Francis, you see it?
Put your monsters coming four pack, not six.
Do you remember? Did you ever see like the old WWF, like when they would just spend so long talking about like the dude's bodies and stuff? Like, just,
oh god,
no,
yeah,
no way around it. It's so homoerotic, dude. You know what I mean? I know.
Like, eventually, I just started working out because I've been so bored doing nothing, and I got stuff to work out with. So I just like started lifting and doing everything again. And like I started doing that, and there were people that started messaging me being like, oh my god, I had no idea. And then, you know, there's dudes that have like Instagram names like I Heart Beefcakes or whatever that are in my DMs.
Well, I'm sorry.
Get it, player.
I know, that's the wrestling business. Dude, that popped like at least four or five dudes watching this right now that do wrestling. That popped at least three or four dudes that are just like, ha, me too.
I can't help it. You guys all figured out my burner Instagram account.
I knew it. I thought that looked familiar. I thought the skin tone of that dick pic you sent me was just familiar enough.
It's the lighting. You know, Francis, you got to use different lighting, man.
I know.
He's got
signature lighting, does Francis.
I got to
up my It couldn't hand. Have been my dick because it's clearly blue right here, and I'm sitting behind green. You know what I mean? Like,
that's right.
I promise you, iHeartBeefcakes_2 is not me.
Or _3 or _4.
I don't have any of those accounts.
I'll remember that when I send the next armpit picture.
Oh. Dude.
Where's my $10, by the way?
Somebody out there, Kyle, you might have just got a side hustle. You know what I mean?
Dude, I'm okay with it. Like, we're all whores in some way. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
look for that.
I'm all right with it. Listen, I don't have anything wrong with anybody's. I don't particularly subscribe to certain things, but everybody's entitled to their own stuff.
In 2024, all bets are off. Whatever you want, right?
That's it. Yeah, whatever you like. Everything's cool.
Our planet is a giant. Like, do you guys got any buffets in Canada? Like,
what? Oh yeah. Mostly
Golden Chinese, Corral. Does that exist?
Not here. Nah. I've been to one. It was good. It's fantastic. Francis,
Kyle wasn't born when these were around, but do you remember Sweden House?
Yes.
No, I don't know that. What is Sweden House? What's that?
It's actually Sweden House.
It's
old school like buffet. And
yeah. I mean like old school, you know what I mean? Just like I mean like Cracker Barrel type food, the green beans, okay. The corn, the you know, okay. The cut up sausage and stuff, but it was legit as fuck. You know what I mean? I love
the
a buffet.
Stuff that made me fat while I was in the States.
it makes sense.
I was so fat
because whatever. I just know too much about fat stuff. But yeah, the concept of a buffet came from Sweden, so Sweden House.
Okay,
it was meant to be like a festive. That I just recently found that out because fat guy stuff. But look out for more that Kyle content on OnlyFans coming soon.
OnlyFans!
Well, Kyle, but I don't know, before you start clapping, like, because it's going to be, so now it's going to be Kyle's armpit videos along with shit falling on somebody's foot. No, yeah, you have to shit on your own foot, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm going for.
Yeah. And
that Francis takes some like dexterity and shit. Like,
yeah, no, I've been pressing my friend that's not that flexible to try to do it on camera.
Yoga.
Yeah. Somebody, if you got the content, somebody's got the money. That's the world we're in, dude. You know,
I'm trying to get us all paid.
I feel that.
It just sucks because I'm gonna get either me or you is gonna end up getting a side gig of editing the you know a title that comes flying in and the sound and you know what I mean. The in splash screen and the socials and somebody's got to do it, you know.
The transitions.
Yeah, it's just
yeah, right.
Only friends and friends.
That's only me. Friends. I want that T-shirt when it's made.
We've been talking about it for a while. It's probably going to end up happening.
I got it.
Size large.
Done.
All right.
So Kyle, we're just about at the end segments. do you want to roll into this with us?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yes.
So we always talk about the Mount Rushmore death match. Okay. The core four, the most important people, not to everybody else, to you.
To me.
When you look at their body of work, you're like, holy shit. Like, I fucking, I love that. I aspire to be that. I could never be that because it's too great. You know what I mean? That's just right. Like, when you close your eyes and you think of the most important deathmatch people, I want to know who you think it is.
Oh, God. Okay.
Any era. It can be any era at all.
Oh, that's hard.
Any company.
Okay. Okay, for me personally, okay. This is hard because I bet when you do this, there's a lot of dudes who are like, oh, I got to do pick Mick Foley. I got to put Terry Funk on there. I got to put Mr. Danger, you know, Mr. You know, all this shit.
For this year too, by the way, for this season three, we've been giving people, you can have a fifth one if you want. Some people, I tell them they can only have four, but we've had a run of people that I actually really like. And you guys can have five. So if you can't get it done in four, you can have five.
All right.
Literally because you're our boy, dude.
Oh, okay. All right. I love you too. All right. Well, number one has to be Kyun Kasai. Because I love him. I love his personality. I love his, like, just willingness to do whatever. I love his explanation for wanting to be a deathmatch wrestler, because I have a similar story where, like, my stepdad would say, oh, that looks like shit, or that's pussy, or that's this, that wouldn't hurt, this, that, blah, 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 when watching wrestling, right? And I'm just like, well, there ain't no way this ain't fucking hurting, you know what I mean? Like, when you look at this shit. So, of course, you know, he's a hero, and I do I wear the goggles because of him and because of Pondo, Madman Pondo, who I guess would be my number two. Madman Pondo is a hero of mine. He's the one who actually gave Jun Kasai those goggles. And when I figured that out, I had to pay tribute to both of my favorites. You know what I mean? So Pondo, I've known of since around the time that I knew of Green Phantom, because I was watching old Tournament of Deaths. So I saw him versus Toby Klein. And that is actually my favorite death match of all time. That's actually my favorite match. If somebody asks me, I say Madman Pondo versus Toby Klein. And the Bed of Pencils, you know, the story behind the Bed of Pencils, everything about that is so cool. And Pondo always has the best stories. And his attitude toward things is so awesome. Like, when I heard that at one point he was on the mic cutting a promo while taking a piss at an IWS Mid-South show. And he's like, oh, sorry, y'all, I pissed on the seat. Sorry about that. Like, you know what I mean? And like, his podcast that he did with Colt Cabana is legendary, and I've listened to it about 14 million times. It's still on my phone to this day. Every once in a while I'll pop it on.
Pondo is actually coming on the podcast tomorrow.
Yeah, Pondo's on tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. So my Pondo story. So he didn't recognize me when he met me, but he was one of the cameos that I got. So basically he roasted me, talked about my tattoos, my blah, blah, blah. So when I met him, when he came to wrestle in Hamilton, I kind of asked him, I was like, do you remember like this weird cameo thing that you got where you were sitting in a car and you said to like the dude had bad prison tattoos, blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, oh shit, bad prison tattoos, I remember you. and so he called me Monster Bat. He didn't remember that my name was Kyle. They'd be like, oh, Kyle, blah, blah, blah. And he'd be like, which one's Kyle? And then they'd point at me and he'd be like, oh, Monster Bat, okay, cool.
Your Pondo is great, dude.
My Pondo has been completely like amalgamated through years of listening to him talk, from podcasts to shoot interviews to all this stuff that
you got the draw perfect, man.
I'll do a thing where I call in as him and shit. But anyway, so Pondo's number two for all these reasons. Three would be Green Phantom, because I consider him the greatest deathmatch wrestler to ever come out of Canada. He's fantastic, legendary, 25 years in the business. You know, it's so legendary to the point where he's been all over the world, wrestled in Corican Hall at the beginning of 2024 and at the end of 2023. You know, like, he's legendary. He's just incredible. So Green Phantom is one. And that's not even considering that he chooses to team with me every once in a while, which is mind-blowing in and of itself. Didn't even really get to talk about that, but I'm ridiculously thankful that he chooses to spend his time with me.
Incredible, man.
That's insane. I can't even fucking put over more the fact of that, how thankful I am that he gives a shit about me at all. It's incredible.
What an honor when somebody that you look up to, you know, sees something in you and wants to, like, help you out and stuff like that. I mean, you cannot feel anything other than blessed. You know what I mean?
And doesn't want to, like, you know, take advantage of you or try to, like, you know, knock you down or put their stamp on you or anything negative or carny like that. You know what I mean? Like, this dude just is genuinely so cool that he's like, oh, okay, Kyle, let's fuck around. You know what I mean? Like, and he teaches me things, and I listen, and it's incredible. I learn things from him every single time. I'm so thankful. So that's number three for sure. Number four would have to be, in terms of, like, just generally being entertained by him every single time I see him in the ring, Ricky Shane Page. Like, he's the fucking one of the best. Like, he can tell a story with just his face. You know what I mean? Like, he makes everything mean something. And almost every single match that I've ever seen him in, he does something cool that I've never really seen before. Or if it is something that I've seen before, it's something with a twist. You know what I mean? It's a facial expression. It's a this, that, whatever. He's just so good in every way, shape, and form. I love RSP. He would hate me. Yeah, he would not like me. He would take one look at me and be like, nope. I genuinely love him.
Did you see Ricky Shane Page from 2 weekends ago now when he was at XPW in the match against Schlack and Masada?
Yeah. Yes.
It was great because he refused to do deathmatch at first, and somebody gave him a huge bundle and he broke it outside the ring just to fucking get, like, heat and, like, no, you know, ain't gonna be no deathmatch. And he ended up deathmatching, but just like you were saying about the storytelling, you know what I mean? He got everybody so riled up.
Yes. His ability to get heat is remarkable. He knows that if he grabs something from the audience that they made, that they want so bad to see used in the match, and instead of using it, he just throws it on the fucking ground and breaks it. Oops, sorry. Like, this is the best shit.
And then at the end, with the thing with Eric Ryan, there was more storytelling in that one match than there was on the whole fucking show. And that's all because of Ricky Shane Page. You know what I mean?
Fucking straight and right, you know, and all those dudes are incredible. I love Eric Ryan. If I want to watch a good death match, I'd type in Eric Ryan and then just see what comes up, and it's gonna be a good, awesome match. But, like, I couldn't put him on the Mount Rushmore because I don't have enough fucking spots. But
did you want the fifth spot?
I might need it, to be honest. Because, okay, so who do I got? I got Jun Kasai,
Madman
Pondo, Phantom, and then who was
Shane Page?
Ricky Shane Page. So I will need the fourth. I will need the fourth because you can't ignore the fifth. Sorry, I can't ignore the now. You know what I mean? And, like, the dude that, like, inspires me most, and that I've been such a fan of for the last 4 years, and that him and I are the same age. I've met him twice. He's been cool to me both times. It's not like we message each other. I love this dude so fucking much, and I really think that he's going to be the absolute future. Is Akira, man. Like, fucking Akira is, like, the fucking man. And, like, you know, not only is he the man in the ring, he's the man outside the ring. He's just a dope dude that keeps to himself, doesn't do anything to fucking piss anybody off, and if he does, he's just doing his own thing, you know what I mean? And he's just, I just respect him so damn much, and he's my age, you know what I mean? It's weird to look up to a dude that much and respect a dude that much in every way, shape, and form when you know that you went to school at the same time, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I will say that I believe Akira is talented.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, fuck, definitely. Dude, It's remarkable. He takes everything that, you know, you think that wrestling should be, which he's an incredible wrestler, but then he adds the deathmatch element, and he's challenged himself to not use glass every once in a while. Like, for a long time, he wasn't using glass on purpose to show people that you don't have to. You know what I mean? That doesn't have to be a deathmatch, because there are those fans who are like, what? There's no glass broken? That's not a real deathmatch. Like, you know, like, I love you as fans, but can you not say things like that? Like, it's, you know, like, I feel like they know that they're wrong when they say that, and they still say it. You know, favorite
Akira matches is, and Dave knows, the Pondo one, right? We saw Akira and Pondo in a no rope barbed wire live.
That was our very first live no rope barbed wire match that we had ever saw. Big moment, Francis.
It was a great match.
Yeah,
at JCW, right?
Yes.
Another dream promotion that I want to work for one day, because I myself am a large juggalo.
Oh man, Kyle, you absolutely have to come back on the show again. If you come back,
anytime.
We've been asking people about doing watch-alongs, and we're probably going to end up doing some of that during the second part of the season, because we go balls deep with the fucking episodes. So if you're up for that, we've been talking about something like having like a roulette where like it could be it could be Nick Gage. It could be Hulk Hogan. You know what I mean? It could be, fuck, man. I don't know. I'm trying to think. It could be Magnum PA. You know what I mean?
It could be JCW, or we could just fire up the 97 Olympics finals of wrestling. And
it very well could be that.
Kurt Angle and
Deep South. It could be fucking anything.
Dude, I'm so down. I couldn't be more down. That sounds like fucking Mystery Science Theater 3000 with wrestling.
Oh, and man, we've been very heavy on the bleep button for this season too. So don't worry about anything. Like, lots of shit that we have to bleep out all the time.
I wasn't supposed to swear this whole time.
No, you're good. You're absolutely good. Dude, you can do whatever the fuck you want to on this show.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Okay.
Francis and I both don't wear pants when we record this. Everyone knows that.
Oh, good. I wasn't either. That's good. Okay.
Totally not wearing them. It's, you know.
Yeah, dude.
Just, I love beefcakes. I'm just score one right here.
Yeah.
So, Kyle, we got one last segment really quick.
About how long have you been wrestling, would you say? How many years?
12 years. 10 technically, but really, let's say 5. Let's say, like, I have really the experience of a 5-year wrestler, not a 10 or a 12, is, you know. Which is technically where I am at, but I'm not, I don't call myself a 10-year veteran, because if I do, then people expect more from me.
how old are you exactly, please? Do you mind?
Oh, God. I'm 30 years old. I'm 30.
You're so young. You still have so, I mean, look at Pondo, though. You know what I mean? Like, Pondo.
Oh, I know. He's huge inspiration.
Look at Terry Funk. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Your career, dude, you are so in the fucking early phases of your career. You know what I mean? You got so much more time to be grizzled, and you know what I mean?
I started when I was 18. So, like, you know, I know wrestling to a point of a person who's been around for 12 years, but I don't know, like, I'm not a very good wrestler in that way. Like, guys that have been wrestling for 10 years are incredibly good wrestlers. I am fine. Like, I'm good. Like, so, you know what I mean? These other dudes are really, really fantastic. I'm good. All right. Like, there's a difference.
We were driving in a direction and I grabbed the wheel, Francis. I'm sorry.
So let's go back 5 years. Let's go back to the day of your very first match. If you can give yourself one piece of advice, what would it be? I want everything you know now.
Oh, fuck. Definitely lay your shit in more. And work on cardio outside the ring.
For real?
Yeah. Like, you know, I would get blown up super quick. So I would tell myself, yo, like, fucking work on that. And then, you know, the other thing would be to lay my shit in more. I was always too nice. I think I still am. You know what I mean? Like, I'm getting better, but, like, I've always just been too nice.
when you say that, and because there's... For people that don't know, like, the behind the scenes stuff and shit, you like there, it's very much a improvisational experience. And you just mean take more opportunities, correct?
Me, for absolutely that, and speak up more, you know, when they ask you what you do. Don't be timid in that way, because I have been where I'm just like, whatever you want to do, man, because I'm shit. I'm not good. What the fuck are you talking about? I'm a piece of shit. You know what I mean? And like, my brain's stupid in that way. It doesn't process the same way as others do. So when somebody that I think is better than me is asking me what I do, I'm just like, I'll do whatever you want. Like, you know, and I should be more like, no, like I do this, and you know, I hit you with this, and then, you know, whatever. And, you know, people would be more comfortable with me if I did that, probably. I'm better at it now. Back then, not so much.
Kyle, you are such an awesome dude. And I said it at the start of the show and stuff. We really consider you a part of the crew. You know what I mean? We love the TFC guys, you know. Chuck is our fucking homie. Hardcore is the homie. Will's the fucking homie. Love the hell out of you guys. I want nothing but good things for you. You know what I mean? Never. I've never heard a single bad thing about you too. And that's just, and I for real would tell you right now, like I would shoot super hard. You know what I mean? I got one other thing I want to bring up before we leave the episode and stuff. At the end of Famous Monsters, I walked up to you and Will and Hardcore, and you guys were like, so what do you think? And I said, it was great. Now we just got to do it with the record button pressed. And you guys were all like this. You're all like, and I started laughing first, and then you didn't laugh. You guys still just looked at me. But it was that means so much to me. That was such a great moment.
Because the part of me was like, no fucking way. Like, that would happen. That is my luck specifically, where I would have this dope match and then nobody was fucking recording.
So we don't have ending to the show. We show a car crash.
And, where can people harass you?
Thank
where
you, Francis.
Where can people send the dick pics? Where can they book you?
That Kyle on Instagram. I don't have a Twitter or an X. What else do I have? A YouTube. I have a YouTube. Just search That Kyle and the TFC YouTube, Total Effing Chaos. I'm the one who does all of that. So support me in there and do whatever. But I only have that. That's it. And if you're on Facebook, you can add me or whatever. Kyle.
There you go.
To anybody listening or watching, you know, if you need video work, Kyle's that guy, man. Hit him up, dude. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Kyle, he can help you with the promo. He can help you with a little short and stuff. You know, you're stupid if you don't have video promoting yourself. You know,
I can do it.
He's also trained.
I am. Yeah. I thank you. That part is important.
You guys are so funny, dude.
Do you do the thing that, like, I meant to ask? Like, do you do like the Talladega Nights Ricky Bobby thing? Do you leave a ticket for your dad at every show?
No, I don't. If I thought for a minute that he'd go and shit, maybe, but nah. I have often talked about where I'm just like, yo, if some dude shows up and he's just like, I'm that Kyle's dad, just like, just let him in. Like, you know what I mean? Take the 20 out my pay or whatever. Like, just let the dude come in. Like,
I really am going to try and arrange that Father's Day episode, so expect to be.
I'm down for it. Like, nice. I'm all right with it.
How far are you out of Detroit? It's
past like 6 hours.
6 hours? Jesus Christ. All right.
I've never had a chance to throw a football around. I might drive that. I don't know what that is. No one ever showed me how to shave. Can you imagine
that I can get into Canada?
I'll do it.
Did they change all the rules? Like, what do I got to do in Canada now?
Just drive across the border, give them $6, and be like, I'm not coming over here with drugs.
That's it. He's nailed it. That's it.
I would always take the tunnel. I would never take the bridge.
Well, it's the same difference. Can you imagine when we spin the wheel and it lands on the birds and the bee conversation, and it's Kyle and I trying to explain to each other the birds and the bees?
That's right. Yeah.
I'm
not even fully understanding of how to do any of that. So you'd have to really take over the conversation.
Just close your eyes and think of baseball. Like, you know what I mean? Like, right?
Think about baseball. Swing all night, yeah.
Well, this has been awesome, Kyle.
Yeah. Kyle, you're the best. Like I was saying, we don't have a fucking ending to the show. We show a car crash and that's it. So
Boogie Nights motherfucking podcast.
Yeah, for fucking David Francis, that Kyle, total fucking chaos. Motherfucker, we out.